Get your butt out of bed. It's Bob and Kennedy time.
When the city of Atlantis stood serene above the sea, long time before our time, when the world was free, those were the days. Golden cymbals flying on ocarina sound, before while the Judas serpent gave birth to hell.
Feel better now?
Yeah, that really took me back. Those were the days, my friend. We thought they'd never end. And you know why? Because we were high on speed.
Girls were girls, men were men.
They should have begun that.
Use a man like Herbert Hoover again.
Yeah, they should have started the show All in the Family with that song instead of that nutty Archie and Edith song.
Those were the days!
Edith Stifel.
Small but slinky falsetto boy Jack Bruce, heroin zombie Eric Clapton, heavily jaundiced Ginger Baker, Cream, from Wheels on Fire. Those were the days.
On a 10-minute cart.
I'll let the record show.
Here, listen. It's still running. Hear it?
Oh, sounds like the ocean. Hear it?
Well, that sounds like a seashell. Run that up again. Oh, I feel as if I'm in Santa Monica. Look, honey, there's a looter. There's a looter that just got the word that riots have broken out. Finally got around to seeing my tape, by the way, of the Maury Povich show where the woman wakes up after a 30-year coma. You should have seen her face when he informed her that Kennedy had been shot. Went into the coma in 62. So she missed the Kennedy assassination and she missed Cream's classic Wheels on Fire, a double LP.
She missed disco.
She missed a lot. You probably don't have that LP, do you? Nor the cassette. I assume it's out on CD.
Which Cream do
kind
I have?
Kind of a muddy mix there, wouldn't you say?
Extremely muddy.
Kind of muddy and
horrible sounding.
Well, here's the story. To show you how primitive the equipment must have been back then, the recording equipment.
Disraeli Gears. Excuse me.
That was before Wheels on Fire.
That's the one I have.
Yeah. And then there was The Badge, the album with the badge.
SWLABR.
Anyway. So I'm going from cassette to card in the production room with Those Were the Days by Cream. Okay? We hear like 12, 15 seconds of ramp to the vocal, and I've got it mixed perfectly. It's right there. And then here comes Jack Bruce's voice, and it goes crazy.
Oh, you should have warned me. I was halfway out of the control room when I noticed that. I had to come running back.
We got to remember, a lot of the stuff recorded back then was recorded by people who were so bombed. You know?
Yeah.
There's no way to rectify, even with today's advanced technology, there's no way to rectify what they did.
Especially that band. History books say that they were wasted all the time.
Well, as I... Small but slinky, heroin zombie, heavily jaundiced. Jack, Eric, and Ginger.
Their eyes about 2 feet back in their head.
I also got around to seeing my videotape of the big Spy magazine show of a couple of nights ago. I don't think I've laughed that hard in a long time.
Pretty funny,
unless
huh?
It's, unless it would have been at something I said. Yeah, that Brady Bunch takeoff was great. The Brady Bunch
with Woody and
intro.
Me.
Yeah. The Pharaoh Allen Previn bunch. I mean, they brought her down from the top of the screen, brought him up from the bottom, brought the kids in from the sides, just like on the Brady Bunch intro. Had them, I don't know how they electronically did this, but they had them look around just like the Brady Bunch intro. And, and then, at the end, also starring Alan Dershowitz as Alan.
Yeah.
Who will be the lawyer for one side or the other, I don't know. I keep tuning into the court channel thinking I'm going to see Woody and Mia. Who do I see yesterday? Shemaine Nugent, Ted Nugent's wife, on the stand in Battle Creek, Michigan.
For what?
This TV anchor murder trial.
Why is she on the stand?
Because she and Ted threw some hoop-de-doo, some wing-dings, uniting hunters in the greater Michigan area. And the defendant,
uh-oh,
as they pronounce it on the court channel,
uh-oh,
and the decedent. Hi, I'm defendant. Hi, I'm decedent. They were there with their name tags. And her testimony was so meaningless. I mean, here's the cross-examination. And what kind of deer did you get during this trip?
10-point buck.
Thank you. Nothing else, Your Honor. I swear to you, that's how the cross-examination went. Shemaine Nugent.
If I remember her correctly, she's gorgeous.
Ted Nugent, the Motor City Madman, apparently subscribes to the theory espoused by that old song. You want to talk about a song from my youth. This goes way back before Cream. I forget the name of the group. Someone will call me. I have a feeling this morning between now and 6 o'clock they'll tell off the air, Jer, the name of this group that performed a song that went something like this. You can be happy for the rest of your life if you make an ugly woman your wife. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Get a pretty girl to marry you. If you want to be happy for the rest of your life, a pretty woman, your wife.
When we had Ted
on... old song, that, and Ted Nugent must subscribe to that philosophy.
We had Ted on the show when we were doing afternoons. His wife sat in here with me for the whole hour. Very pleasant experience.
Yes. Now, Ted was a widower before his marriage to... This person, is that true, divorcee or whatever? I know he'd been married before.
No idea. All I know
is... I just assumed that he had mistaken his first wife for a deer.
Four or five years ago when he was here, his wife then was gorgeous.
Yes. This is Shemaine. She was on the court channel yesterday.
She said to me, I'm trying to get him to watch his language on the air. He has a vulgar mouth.
And you said, that's okay.
Okay.
We got a panic button.
We're in delay.
The other part of the Spy magazine show that was hilarious was the... duet with the dead person. Because one of the shameful things that's happened this year was Natalie Cole getting her father's recording out of Mothball, sing along with it, and making a big hit out of it, winning some Grammys and stuff.
Wayne Newton.
Hank Williams Jr.
That
singing with Hank Williams Sr.
So
in the country vein.
Funny.
Wayne Newton
oh.
of graphically superimposed on the screen during the Monterey Pop footage of Janis Joplin singing Ball and Chain
live, yeah.
You think he realizes that he's a kind of a laughing stock,
yes,
especially so since
yes.
he filed bankruptcy?
He's got a sense of humor. That yeah. proves it. That was funny.
Have we received an answer yet off the air, Jer? If you want to be happy for the rest of your life, a pretty woman, your wife.
You okay?
Girl to marry you. And then at the end, a guy goes, yeah, 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 yeah.
The Beatles.
Jerry and the Pacemakers. Oh, that reminds me, I had a dream the other night that I met a ferry across the Mersey. But I walked on by. You'll never guess who called me at home yesterday. First time in months. First time since I had to pay a lawyer to send her a nasty letter.
No kidding.
CJ.
Why?
Yeah. CJ just basically called to insult me.
Don't ever give her my home number.
Drive an emotional wedge between yours truly and my one of my many other employers, Twin Cities Reader.
How much you get paid for that? $10?
And, of course, there are so many shouldas after something like that. I should have told her, well, I make just enough to pay my attorney to send you letters to tell you to shut up.
Isn't it true that you wrote a column about how you were being censored and they censored that? Well, yes. You know.
Change your number, Bob.
I told her that this is the first time since college, since my college column, which was called Bullseye, because I had a new target each week. That I've seen my name in print regularly, and it appeals to my massive ego and gives me a chance to vent some creativity that I don't get allowed to vent here in this forum.
Hey, look.
I had nothing but nice things to say about the Reader. It recued?
Cart recued.
Well, now, then listen to the first few seconds of it.
It's terrible.
Okay. So it's right there where it should be, the level-wise.
Fine.
And then when Jack Bruce comes on...
I know, no one.
Splatters, just goes all to hell. Listen to that.
When the city of Atlantis stood serene above the sea.
I think you've made your point. It was badly mixed to start with and badly remixed by yours truly.
Well, you took it off cassette.
As we dropped down a generation from cassette tape to cart tape. Whoop-dee-doo. It didn't even appease CJ that I quoted to her from my Andrea Dworkin-style column of next week. My anti-Mario Lemieux, radical feminist anti-rape column.
That didn't soothe her at all?
It didn't soothe her at all, no.
Huh.
No. She also said,
this thing you said about Steve Jordan and Wayne Terwilliger and stuff like that, they started censoring you after that, right? And I said, CJ, I've always been censored. They've always had a space problem with me. Takes them 2 days to edit the stuff I give them because it's so meticulously woven.
God. Oh.
And that was satire and probably the most wildly misconstrued column in the history of journalism. I said, you had to picture this being written by a local, irreverent Larry King as if it had appeared in USA Today. But you make it local, you make it irreverent. These are not my words. These are the words of such a character. When a playwright is blamed for the dialogue he puts in the mouth of his characters, I think we are headed toward Armageddon, wherever the hell that is. Where is that in Minnesota?
It's down
is
by
that in Coochaching County?
Down by Rochester. You've heard of Armageddon Creek, haven't you? I fish that one all
no.
the time. Oh, sure.
However, if her prediction of some months ago comes true, I'll be ice skating with my son 4 weeks from today. Ross, Jimmy Soul, thank you, whoever the off-air caller was who rang up.
Hey, you got to whisper when you talk into his headphones. That went over the air. That's how loud his headphones
Jimmy
are.
Jimmy Soul.
Yeah, like that. Whisper into his headphones.
Jimmy Soul.
Never heard of him.
If you want to be happy for the... Well, that's because it probably came out in about 1957. And you were just a gleam
no,
in your father's eye.
I was overseas, I think, Korea.
Ross Robert Yates' ice skating lessons begin this weekend, and I vowed to get out the old hockey skates for my days of amateur hockey. So I'll be skating with him very early in the morning, 4 weeks from today, if the worst is known about the show, if CJ's prediction comes true. I predict that no matter what happens, Ken, you will have a role at this station. Now, it may be... on air-wise, it may be diminished, but I think you will definitely... I think board operators
generic,
are really good, despite the
generic
fact that your nerves and reflexes are shot.
Yeah.
there's always a place for them in this business. But I'll be ice skating. I'll be painting. I'm going to take up a musical instrument. Something like the soprano sax or the clarinet or something. Not the flute, because the flute to me has always been a sissy instrument.
What about Ian Anderson?
An exception to every rule.
Flailing and prancing and hopping about the stage.
Be doing a little writing, probably, for my own enjoyment.
Hey, you know what?
Photography. I'm going to take up photography. I think I can take a better homoerotic photo than this Johnny-come-lately, the late Robert Mapplethorpe.
Well, you're going to need models.
I know. Or I could take up sculpting, too. I could sculpt my own homoerotic characters and then photograph them.
I ice skate also. We could... That's about the only sport we could do together. We can't shoot buckets together because I can't hit the damn bucket.
Did you see the Letterman skit
I played hockey one year
where they had people who looked like Letterman and Schaefer from a distance, had them ice skating out at Rockefeller Center, and they were throwing each other up in the air, and they were doing these half gainers and, you know, moves that even the Russian judge would give a 9.5 if it were the Olympics. Sure, you and I could go out and do some ice skating. I guess you skate with a cigarette hanging out of your mouth, don't you?
Well, I do everything with a cigarette hanging out of my...
Because it's not like jogging.
Love making.
Once you get up a good head of steam, you can just, you know, just coast with the cigarette hanging out of the mouth. And then, of course, I got the big stack of magazines, too. Boy, oh boy, have I got a stack of magazines I need to get through.
Yeah, but you won't have any reason to get through them if... If you're retired.
For my own enjoyment. This is just pleasure reading. She ticked me off so much, CJ did, with this call yesterday, that I decided about midway through this conversation that I would not tell her about the wrestling match I observed here yesterday.
Jeez.
Yeah. She would have paid me for that.
I'm sorry I missed it.
Yeah. Oh, you missed a good wrestling match. Were it not for the fact that one of the participants was accosted from behind following a shouting match,
yeah,
it kind of reminded me of the way two professional wrestlers' bodies first make contact at the beginning of a match. You know, they kind of circle each other, and then they just, you know, wham together, and then the slap and the grappling and the bicep grasping and that kind of thing, kind of a tug of war, listing side to side. That's what it was like. If you can visualize wrestlers doing that and shouting at each other at the same time.
Did the big one go after the little one, or vice versa?
Now, see, I don't think we should in any way describe the participants.
Well, we
but I must say, I almost
one.
Hit the floor myself to do one of those wrestling referee deals. If the smaller participant had been pinned, of course, I would have had to try to do something to save his or her life. But
he would have done
went to the floor, I was going, wham, wham, wham. You think one of the other could have flipped the other one off the way they do in the wrestling business?
Lift his chest up and off she flew.
I thought about leaning over a file cabinet maybe and extending my hand so I could be tagged and I could get into the fray. You know, tagged.
Come running
a tag
in there
team deal.
Clothesline one of them.
You know, it's weird. I came home, scoured the house for somebody to tell this to, because it was extraordinary in any walk of professional life. You don't see this every day.
You know what the fight was about?
I do and I don't. It's none of my business, see.
Oh.
The only thing is, when I get out of the shower and I hear that CJ is called, I'm going, oh my God. I got to make a call here. So I called over here and asked around. What does she know? What am I, you know, supposed to say? I'm just going to say no comment. I didn't see anything. I figured all I was going to tell CJ was that I did find it hard to continue my phone conversation because this went on during a phone conversation with the inventor of the Shuffle Master, by the way.
So
he called to talk to me about his automatic... card shuffling machine that we talked about at the 6 o'clock yesterday with our callers, and I'm going, uh-huh, yes, uh-huh, and then the background is,
no, pass your way! Grow up!
Now, so she did call you about this incident?
No, she did not.
Oh, okay.
This was just to give me hell about the reader. I returned her call, which is a big mistake on my part anyway, I'm not going to do it again. It doesn't serve any purpose, doesn't improve my position as a professional or a human being to talk to this woman, to talk to CJ. regardless of any new detente that may exist between CJ and this radio station. It just doesn't serve any purpose, so I'm not going to do it anymore. Anyway, I'm like putting the top 10 list together in my head of what to be prepared for, depending on what she's going to bring up. It never occurred to me that she might want to talk about my role with the Twin Cities Reader. But regarding the wrestling match, I'm going through some clippings from yesterday, thinking I might be able to use them today. I come across the horoscope from yesterday. Did you see it? Joyce Gilson in the Strib?
Yeah, I saw it.
Temper tantrums of coworkers are meaningless. Isn't that weird?
Is that you?
It's wrong, of course. I hope it's wrong.
Wow.
Because this kind of thing cannot be allowed to go on. I mean, I don't rule the roost here, but I was, you know, I was trying to talk on the phone. I think that maybe there should be some kind of insert in the policy book saying that all wrestling matches should be confined to the rear parking lot or something.
See, now this doesn't go on at music stations. This isn't happening at 93.
Well, I've worked at some music stations.
Those guys aren't kicking the hell out of
each other. I've done some rash things, said some rash things. I've never been in a fist fight or a wrestling match. It was just I don't know. What I couldn't believe, though, was that you knew things were heated. You knew the situation was becoming highly adrenalized when neither party acknowledged that I was on the phone. Oh, let's take this outside. Let's take this over on the other side of the building or something. No, it was Bob just happens to be on the phone. That's just his tough luck. We're going to have it out right here. It's quite a place. And I don't say it to embarrass anybody. I just think everything is a copy, and this is definitely Man Bites Dog. At the television station at which I was employed in Texas, there was a stare down and some bumping. You know, like
a baseball
player will bump an umpire. There was some bumping. This went beyond bumping. This was a dance. I mean, it was Shall We Dance. This was
Let's
the Texas
dance.
Two-step. But according to Joyce Gilson, it was meaningless. Or maybe it was just inappropriate, but not actionable. Anyway, I got one of my ears plugged with my finger, and I got the phone pressed hard to the other end. You're going to have to speak up. People are fighting.
Yeah,
you're going to have to speak up. Can you shut a little louder over the unprofessionalism?
Makes a hell of an impression, doesn't it, to the person you're talking
to? You know, I did not acknowledge to the person who I was trying to make a client of the station. I didn't acknowledge what was going on.
Good thing you weren't.
I just tried to make it sound like it was an everyday occurrence, which it may be, because, you know, I'm usually out of here between 10 and 11 in the morning. That might happen every day.
It's a good thing that you weren't doing a job interview on the phone.
Yeah.
This is why I'm leaving. Here, listen. Hear that? Hired yet?
You know what, though? This ain't much of a gripe when you consider the position of our warm, close, personal friend, J.G. Preston, who is currently stationed in the IC, that is intensive care, neurological care unit, unit 4D, 4D for dog, University of Minnesota Hospital, 420 Delaware, Minneapolis 55455. We'll be giving both of these addresses every hour on the hour, until he gets the mail he deserves from you, his many fans of his appearances on our show. During one or another of his many media incarnations here in the Twin Cities over the years, his appearances on my cable TV show, every time I've needed JG, he's been there. I don't know of a person who has ever said a cross word about J.G. Preston. My record with the human race should be as stellar as his.
I've never,
ever... He deserves your support.
...been turned down by J.G. Preston.
Nope.
No matter what the request, how outlandish...
An immaculate individual.
He has come through.
Funds are being collected for his family to help defer expenses, hospitalization and whatnot. Oh. Okay. Never mind.
Cards and letters, though, please. The bottom address.
Okay. Well, now I have the updated information.
Yeah.
Thank you. You've no money right now, just cards and letters.
Exactly.
But I reserve the right to send money.
J.G. Preston, Unit 4D, University of Minnesota Hospital, 420 Delaware Street, Southeast, Minneapolis, Minnesota, 55455. Yeah.
This is an unusual type of spinal meningitis.
The hardest working man in radio and TV in this town, in promotion. Yep. One of the best PR guys in the country.
Versatility personified. They've not pinpointed the cause, so he's been transferred to university hospitals. Wonder if it would be impolitic of us, in the 8 o'clock hour at some point, to contact the family spokesman?
It'd be fine.
Okay. Let's think about that. But in lieu of that, in lieu of any contingency plan, we will definitely be giving out that address per hour on the air.
If you didn't get the address, call 646-8255. My intern, off-the-air Jer, the Tex Watson of Talk Radio, will have the address.
Finally this hour, congratulations to the voters of Hudson, Wisconsin, who, albeit narrowly, approved the sale of St. Croix Meadows to the Chippewa Band.
Mm-hmm.
Now, perhaps this is a misimpression planted in my mind by somebody who is not a source close to the investigation, so to speak, but I am told that this Chippewa Band is the same band, more or less, that operates the Turtle Lake facility. And if so, one will be able to imbibe at one's blackjack table. That's Kenny's giving it a big thumbs up. I'm sorry I'm commercially connected to Grand Casinos, but Kenny can give it the big thumbs up, I suppose. Is this true? You can also give off the air Jerry the answer to that as well.
What I've heard on the radio yesterday that I thought was interesting is they're going to be paying taxes to the city.
That's correct. This was an unbeatable deal.
Yeah.
I don't know that such an organization has ever offered such concessions, and congratulations to Hudson voters, albeit narrowly, voting to save those 600 jobs and extra commerce for the city of Hudson. Later this morning, Patrick Royce, Mr. Movie's trivia question, looking for groins, the strange mailbag. I'm going to hit this ABC News right on the nuts. KSTP St. Paul, Minneapolis, AM 1500, The Talk Station, 6 o'clock.
From the ABC News, and now that the United Nations has approved a military mission to Somalia, a U.S.-led force will be deployed to make sure food shipments get to starving Somalis. President Bush is expected to approve today the dispatch of U.S. troops as a major part of the force. Three U.S. ships in the Indian Ocean could land 1,800 troops on Somali beaches within hours. President Bush will brief congressional leaders this morning on his plan for the U.S. relief mission to Somalia. The United Nations will retain overall political control of the operation. Factions of the Russian Congress of the People's Deputies are battling Russian President Boris Yeltsin over who will eventually control the government. Conservatives are trying to curtail the president's powers. Six United Nations peacekeepers have been released by the Khmer Rouge guerrillas in Cambodia. The six who were held 3 days are said to be in good condition. The crew of the Space Shuttle Discovery is already hard at work this morning on experiments. Today's test will help researchers track orbiting space junk. For the ABC Information Network, I'm Joe Templeton.
I finally decided.
Great.
I'm going to go for the giant slaloms.
And how are you paying?
With my Visa card.
Oh, good choice.
Thanks.
Because now the card that's everywhere you want to be could send you anywhere you want to be.
Anywhere I want to be?
Uh-huh.
Well, definitely soaring through some champagne powder and steamboat or the back bowls and veil. Whoosh, whoosh,
well, for
whoosh.
Every day between November 23rd and December 24th, Visa is giving away a trip worth $15,000.
Wow.
Every time you use your Visa card, you'll have a chance to win.
15 grand?
Mm-hmm.
I could shush the Alps or go helicopter skiing in the Bugaboo.
Well, $1,000 worth of Visa traveler's checks is part of the prize.
If I win, I'll stay at an elegant resort. Snowmask, Tahoe.
Visa's
right.
Anywhere you want to be sweepstakes. Winning could take you places.
Or maybe do the mogul thing in Vermont or Mount Everest. Can you ski Everest?
Visa, it's everywhere you want to be. No purchase necessary. Must be U.S. resident, 18 or older. Void where prohibited. Odds of winning depend on the number of eligible entries. For official rules, call 1-800-648-8472.
Good morning, Art Barron from the Eyewitness Newsroom. Northwest Airlines may be about to get some desperately needed cash. According to an article yesterday in the magazine Commercial Aviation Report, Northwest has apparently arranged for $260 million in new loan money. The author of that report, Scott Hamilton, says this is in itself the only good news for the short term, the next 6 months.
It's still very dicey at this stage. A complete restructuring, as the banks have indicated, is necessary to secure the long-term future. This $260 million loan is a band-aid.
Northwest Airlines isn't commenting on the report. Company officials say they don't comment on rumors or speculation. Voters in Hudson, Wisconsin narrowly passed a referendum to add casino gambling to the St. Croix Meadows dog track. Unofficial totals show a margin of victory of 63 votes, or 51%. The vote is the first step towards selling the track to the St. Croix Band of Chippewa. State and federal approval is also needed. The current owners of the track say they've lost more than $6 million since it opened in June of 1991. If the track closed down, 600 jobs would be lost. Advocates say if a casino is added, the number of employees could triple. Minneapolis police officer Jeff York remains in satisfactory condition as he recovers from stab wounds. The attack occurred Wednesday night near Loring Park when York was called to a domestic dispute. Ernest Dean slashed the officer twice with a butcher knife. York was able to respond with two gunshots, killing Dean. The Minnesota Department of Human Rights is sponsoring an all-day conference today at the Minneapolis Convention Center. Issues to be discussed include police-community relations, hate crimes, AIDS, and cultural diversity in the workplace. A number of Minnesota state troopers will be out on foot today. They will be holding an informational picket at the state capitol because they've been working without a contract since June of 1991. There are 495 troopers in Minnesota. As for the forecast, cloudy, windy, and cold today. Some flurries, highs near 20, clearing tonight with diminishing winds. Lows will be close to zero. From the Eyewitness Newsroom, this is Art Barron for AM 1500 KSTP.
This year, we're going to finish our Christmas shopping early.
How?
Listen, we hate to shop for Christmas, but we've got a great big list of people who we know or love or couldn't give a rip. But we have to get them something, so there's one thing we can do.
Get them all a gift certificate from Rainbow Foods.
Well, what do you think? Pretty cool plan, huh?
What makes you think that everyone will want that kind of gift? It sounds too easy anyway. I'm sure there is a catch. Christmas shopping isn't easy. It wasn't meant to be. Your plan is dumb and so are you, ha ha ho ho hee hee.
Okay, look, let me put it to you this way. We buy the gifts, the cards are free, our friends will think we're great because we gave them some free good stuff to put upon their plate. Gift certificates from Rainbow Foods are smart, I'll tell you.
Why?
People like them more than Santa socks or a geeky tie.
Okay, we'll do it.
Now they will be so happy because their shopping will be done. They will go to the Bahamas and lay out in the sun.
Bahamas?
Happy ending.
Okay, yeah.
Low, low prices on the good stuff. Rainbow Foods. Da-dum-dum.
Incentive to get you up in the morning. Announcing Mystic Lake Casino's early bird bonus slot promotion December 1st through the 30th from 1 a.m. to 10 a.m. Every hand-paid jackpot winner will win a bonus prize and qualify for a special prize drawing on December 30th, where we'll be giving away cash and a car worth over $15,000. Mystic Lake's bonus slot promotion. One thing you won't want to sleep through.
Hey, Bobby, Bobby, hit this guy with a hose. He's on fire.
Get your butt out of bed. It's Bob and Kenny time.
Eric Clapton, lead vocal. I knew this old Chicago Transit Authority music would come in handy. It's the Bob and Kenny theme. Get those rear ends out of bed. Get those ears and phone fingers in gear. 646 talking them to call. 606. KSTP AM 1500. Wendy Lubavitch is wearing men's clothing. Is that the Shelby knot she's using? I love the way men's clothing
it's a little big.
On... Those round-headed, no-neck Serbian women, which is how she referred to herself yesterday.
It's a little big for a Selby knot.
But is that a necktie, or is that just a scarf of some kind?
I think it's a tied scarf.
Oh, it is? So it's not a Windsor-knotted necktie.
You know,
man's necktie.
I had not noticed the lack of a neck on that lady.
Well, she pointed it out yesterday. I hadn't either. I thought her neck was fine. I had no complaints about it. Really didn't give it a second thought. Speaking of frisky young women, if it wasn't enough that my son now knows how to use his middle finger in salute, something he learned on the playground within the past week.
It's bound to happen. He's kind of young for it, though.
My daughter and I are driving to pick him up from school yesterday afternoon, and she is in the very cheaply made Asian four-wheel drive vehicle on the passenger side, the death seat, as they might call it. I don't know who calls it that, but that's just what I've heard it's called. She's singing a Rafi song called Down by the Bay. Down by the bay where the watermelons grow, back to my home.
Wait a minute.
I dare not go.
Who's Rafi?
He's like...
Did I miss them, too?
He's like
too?
The Michael Jackson of the toddler and post-toddler set.
Oh, okay.
He's like a Pied Piper.
Okay.
Okay. Right. He's stopped singing children's songs. He's stopped making millions upon millions of dollars in this way. He's I think, devoted the rest of his life to the environment, ecological responsibility. Anyway.
Liberal, huh?
There always comes a point in each of the stanzas of this song, Down by the Bay, where you make a silly rhyme. Have you ever seen a teacher kissing a creature down by the bay? It could be. Have you ever seen a Kenny... shaking hands with Rick Finney down by the... But just a silly rhyme. I swear to you, so help me God, this happened. And I stopped the car and asked her where she picked this up. It's like my son with the middle finger. She says, I would be a meanie if I hit you in the weenie.
Whoa.
And she pointed to my weenie. She pointed to my groin.
No.
Yes, sir. I had to pull that car over. Right there in the big middle of, I won't say what major thoroughfare, but it was major.
Are you?
And I asked her, where did you... Where?
Yeah.
I made it up myself, she said.
And then she, sorry. Then she pointed at sorry.
And she was getting a big kick out of this, too. My concern plus her comedic abilities. I don't want to have to worry about her until punk rock-looking guys start showing up the house wanting to date her. I don't have to worry about her knowing what a weenie is. I told her Rafi would be ashamed of you.
Boy, she's turning out to be more and more like Kelly Bundy every day.
Mm. 3.5-year-old. Well, actually, going on 4. She'll be 4 on Christmas Eve.
Does she have a tattoo yet?
No, she doesn't. Doesn't have a pierced nose either. When I mentioned the station wrestling match about 15 minutes ago, I knew there was a related item, and finally I found it. There has been a shoving and slapping match in Los Angeles between Beverly Hills 90210 star Shannon Doherty and actress Bonita Money. I know who Shannon Doherty is, but I don't know who actress Bonita Money is.
She's an unknown. I saw The Current Affair. I saw that.
Was she just a bit player on Beverly Hills 90210?
No, she's not even that. She's a nobody.
Oh, she is.
She's a waitress wanting to become an actor.
Well, then that means I'm for her and against Shannon Doherty.
Yes.
Money says she's already sold exclusive rights to her version of the fight. Yeah, I can see how desperate she is now. Her manager says other interviews can be purchased for a price. She's going to get her 15 minutes in the sun, or whatever it was that Andy Warhol predicted for most, if not all of us. L.A. Sheriff's deputies were called to a Sunset Strip nightclub. Now, see, now, if it happens in a nightclub or a nightclub parking lot, that's fine. Just don't conduct it near my desk where I'm having a phone conversation. During business hours, L.A. Sheriff's deputies were called to a Sunset Strip nightclub to stop an alleged shoving match.
All right, we got two white males shoving each other.
This is the kind of thing that would arouse you. I think you would have been aroused by the wrestling match yesterday.
Dyke fight.
I think that you were... Why did you do that?
Two women fighting.
Well, these... the credentials...
I know, but that's...
The heterosexual credentials of these people... Beyond reproach.
Shannon, like, just turned 21, too.
And Bonita Money, I don't know whether she has the reach advantage. I don't know what the tail of the tape would look like if this were a boxing match, but she's given away 11 years. She's 11 years older. Both were adamant about having the other arrested, so deputies cited both with misdemeanors. That's the old offsetting penalties deal in professional football. Nothing gets done. You got to go after the instigators, they say in the NHL, and punish that person. Shannon Doherty's publicist says the Fox TV star needed ice for her red, swollen face after money slapped her. And they'll meet again in court, perhaps before either Judge Wapner or perhaps before the court TV cameras on December 22nd, 3 days before Christmas.
Oh.
Be Christmas Eve. We'll meet in court.
Current Affair played the story like Shannon Doherty was going to be spending Christmas in jail. I saw it 2 nights ago.
They can't put you in jail for slapping somebody or shoving somebody. That's silly.
No. Well, it's Current Affair.
And you know what? If she winds up in jail, she winds up getting more pub for a little show.
Mm-hmm.
Which I have not seen. Maybe I should have seen it. I need to know just about everything for this job. And then I need to stop knowing it right on the hour so we can get to ABC.
I've seen about 5 minutes of that
watch
show.
Watch Beverly Hills 90210.
You don't need to. No reason to.
But it's been acclaimed in all kinds of circles. I mean, lofty critical circles and, you know.
Mass
taste. The word on the street, mass taste. Common man and woman seem to like it. The younger common man and woman, still. I guess you know that the tide is turning on Patrick Royce, and I'm going to be giving him hell about it 1 hour from now. Final score last night in New Orleans. New Orleans 22, Atlanta 14. I had the Atlanta Falcons and the 10 points. Patrick's lead is now a paltry
15 games. Ladies and gentlemen.
We're chipping away at it little by little.
15 games.
So, Patrick, beware. I've got all the underdogs and all the points. Just give me points. I got to make up some ground big time in a major way.
I predict that by the Super Bowl you'll narrow that gap to, 10 games maybe?
No, we only go through the regular season.
Oh, you don't pick the...
Which reminds me again, we need to look for groins. We're going looking for groins right now. Last night, Jamie Dukes of the Falcons had a groin injury. And he was probable. He probably played. And for the Saints, cornerback Reggie Jones, parentheses, groin was doubtful. James Williams, with his groin injury, was questionable. For the Indy Colts, in preparation for their game at New England this weekend, cornerback Ashley Ambrose. Isn't that a great name? That could be the name of a Civil War general. He could have been mentioned on that PBS series, that Ken Burns produced series. Shelby Foote could have mentioned Union General Ashley Ambrose. No, he would have been for the South, wouldn't he? Ashley Ambrose. Sounds Southern. Cornerback Ashley Ambrose.
Garrison Keillor did some
injury.
Reading.
Yes, he did.
For that.
I think Garrison Keillor could read out of the phone book, and I would just be transfixed. He's a little like this generation's Sebastian Cabot or Alexander Scorby or Richard Burton. Save to Chris Good, elbow injury. Linebacker Jeff Heron, shoulder. Tackles of Ross Moss, ankle. He could read the NFL injuries, and I would just be transfixed, be mesmerized. Linebacker Carlton Bailey of the Buffalo Bills has a groin injury. Have you ever seen Carlton Bailey? He is one big individual. He must have one big groin. It would be tough to miss it if you kicked him anywhere in the area during a shoving match at a Beverly Hills nightclub.
Might need a tractor to pull that groin. Ba-dum.
Tackle Tunch Ilkin of the Pittsburgh Steelers has a groin injury. Is doubtful for the game against Seattle coming up. James Campen is probable with a groin injury for the Packers. They got a game coming up against Detroit at Milwaukee. You know, the Packers are in line for a playoff spot if they keep winning games. They're 6-6 now. What is going to become of us if the Packers make the playoffs? Linebacker Monty Coleman, his groin is ailing him. He plays for the Skins. They play the Giants this weekend. Charles Haley of the Dallas Cowboys. Here's another large man. Linebacker, groin injury. This is linebacker. When I think of Charles Haley, the former great 49er sack attack specialist, I think of a man who's down on all fours, who's down in that, down in the trenches, in that, you know, hitting position. Charles Haley, groin injury. Running back Victor Jones has a groin that is questionable. That's what I hear on the street. For the Dolphins.
From his mistress.
From the Dolphins, in preparation for their game at San Francisco this weekend. Another big test for the Niners. Cornerback Bruce Alexander. His groin is so bad, he's been put on injured reserve. I think that means that he doesn't play for the rest of the year, but he still gets paid. And center Burt Widener. Burt Widener. Groin injury. Questionable. Niners don't have any groin injuries. Kind of surprising for a San Francisco-based team. That's a gay joke. Because, you know, because of the proliferation of homosexuals in the city of San Francisco. And running back Johnny Johnson for the Phoenix Cardinals has a groin injury. More groin injuries than you can shake a stick at in the NFL this weekend. Ooh, what did I just say? Would you like to recount the weather for us and then take us to our first break of this hour, the 6 o'clock hour, Bob and Kenny, AM 1500, KSTP.
If I must.
This is my favorite day of the week, my favorite show of the week. The G in TGIFF should by all means stand for giddy. Because I don't know about Kenny, but I'm giddy today. I'm giddy every Friday. Thursday night is always a fun night at my house because the next morning is Friday, the final high-pressure weekday show of the week. And then... And then you have the Saturday show, which is a let-it-all-hang-out version before, of what we do on the weekdays.
When do the before we go to the break, when do the Stars play again?
Stars will play again Saturday.
Quebec.
At Quebec. Our coverage begins at 6 p.m. The Stars won their sixth straight road game last night in Detroit.
And let me imitate.
Manhandling the Red Wings with a three-goal second period.
Here's my imitation of any one of the three sportscasters last night. Oh, too bad they can't play their home games on the road, huh? Oh, please.
Yeah, I heard Mark Rosen last night say...
All three of them said the same thing.
Would you please stay on the road? Just stay away. Don't come back home.
Please.
That was a weird deal in the first period last night. The North Stars were...
Down.
On the avantage numérique, the power play, for 5 minutes, and they gave up all the goals. Mm-hmm. They gave up two goals in a five-minute period.
But I think they scored a shorthanded goal in the second, didn't they?
Oh, they did?
I think so.
Yeah. See, by the time the second period rolled around, I was monitoring a show on Malcolm X and trying to watch the Wolves and Monday Night Football.
Jeez, you're just busy.
Actually, Thursday night version of Monday Night Football. I was trying to watch all that at the same time.
Shows on tape, the Playboy Channel, they're beckoning you.
I know. Another thing that was weird about that game, I think it was also the first period, they were calling a penalty on Detroit. And because the North Stars continued to control the puck, I guess you call that a delayed penalty, because not until Detroit touches the puck will you hear the whistle and play will stop. Well, okay, this penalty's already been called, and so in order to get access to the puck, a Detroit guy just obviously hooks Mike Modano, tosses him to the ice. My question is this, and maybe a hockey expert during this commercial can call and tell us as to whether this is possible. Is it possible for two penalties to be called on the same play? 646-8255. Just send the word to us via off the air, Jared, 646-TALK.
21 minutes after 6 o'clock at the mighty AM 1500 KSTP. Mostly cloudy, flurries today, windy and cold. Our high today near 20 degrees. Cloudy skies, 12 degrees right now. Bob and Kenny make money.
Your child can become a hockey star. The Coca-Cola North Stars Future Stars program allows your future star, Mike Strubantums, to attend a Players Clinic and Skills Competition with legendary hockey coach Willard Eichela and a North Stars alum. The first one is this Sunday, December 6th, at the Minnetonka Ice Arena beginning at 1 p.m. The Coca-Cola North Stars Future Stars is presented by Cub Foods, the Pioneer Press, and the home of Stars Hockey. AM 1500 KSTP.
We don't have time to tell you all the ways med centers can improve your health, but here's an abbreviated list.
MDRNICU ORERPDQ DPT.
EKG,
HRETC,
IPPC, BP,
ASAP,
MRI, EEG, CXR,
PED.
You know, the best time to get better is before you get sick. That's why MedCenter's health plan covers preventive care, like routine physicals, mammograms, vision exams, and well baby care. We even have wellness programs like stress management and nutrition counseling, services that can help keep you healthy and keep health care affordable. 9 out of 10 members say they'd recommend MedCenter's. The reason?
TLC.
Join a health plan designed to keep you feeling A-OK. MedCenter's. Dedicated to better health.
Like a lot of people these days, you'll want to spend less on holiday gifts. But don't worry, we made sure you won't have to give less. I'm Max for Office Max, where you'll find thousands of office products, all at an average savings of 30 to 70% off manufacturer's list price. Imagine a store the size of a supermarket with everything from pens to PCs, really useful gifts that'll leave you with something we all could use this holiday season, a little extra cash.
Get big savings on the Parker Insignia pen set, beautifully designed and rigorously tested to last a lifetime, only $39.99. Save over $20. Also save on the Contemporary Table's 6-foot folding table in a beautiful walnut finish. It's as attractive as it is portable and easy to store. Only $33.99. Save 63%.
That's why when you buy gifts at Office Max, you use more of your brains and less of your bucks. Office Max, where savings is the bottom line.
5 Office Max locations in the Twin Cities, including Roseville and the Rosedale Marketplace Square, County Road B2 at Fairview Avenue, across from Rosedale Mall.
When we last left our heroes, they had just said something funny. Now wait a minute. That was Snappin' Donuts. Never mind.
Plus, they have the cash call. I trust they're still sending out the cash calls. They have it all over us.
KS 95 cash call today.
And yet we plod on here at KSTP AM 1500. The red-haired stepchild, that's me. The red-headed stranger, that's Willie Nelson. No, that's Kenny, if his hair were red. 646-TALK, 646-8255. It's a Friday. TGIFF, please don't ask me what that first F stands for. It's a family show. Normally at this time on a Friday, I dispense the Mr. Movies trivia questions because... I don't know whether you've heard the forecast. You might want to stay indoors. You might want to partake of a video from the official video retailer of Bob and Kenny. Today is the final day of our Christmas movies week. I can't wait. I wish this were next Friday.
Oh.
Angie Dickinson, Big Bad Mama Week. Salute to Big Bad Mama. But it's not. It's Christmas movies week. There was never a Christmas Big Bad Mama. Because at Christmas time, most areas of the country, you can't run around in a crop top like Angie Dickinson and her buxom daughters did in those Big Bad Mama series movies. Or maybe you could, but you'd really nip out, wouldn't you? Name the 1983 release about the cute kid who only wanted a certain BB air rifle for Christmas. I offered this to Kenny yesterday. He made some kind of joke about a Sharif Willis Christmas or something. Darren McGavin was in this movie.
Pretty funny line.
And the little guy's name was Peter Billingsley. A little cotton-headed kid, as they call him down
in
Texas, with the goggle-eyed...
You can steal that line if you want.
Thick spectacles, and he just wanted that certain BB air rifle for Christmas. It was a Gene Shepard type of deal, this wry narration throughout. I thoroughly enjoyed it. Perhaps you folks didn't. Oh, the hell with it. Why don't we just skip the Mr. Movies trivia question
today? I don't know the answer. What is the answer?
And the it's called A Christmas Story.
Huh.
That's the name of the movie. And then the in-store question has to do with the makes and remakes that Hollywood has tortured a certain Charles Dickens classic with, not once, not twice, but 3 times. Of course, that's A Christmas Carol. So,
starring John
McDougal. Five will get you ten. There's an adult film spinoff of the Dickens classic, and it's probably called A Christmas Carol. And then the leading lady, her name is probably Carol. Two more reasons to stay with AM 1500 KSTP throughout the day.
What may they be?
Sally Jesse Raphael, for starters. Woman claims affair with Roman Catholic clergyman. I hope this is that young black woman from Atlanta. Boy, is she a fabulous babe. If I were a clergyman,
you read about
I would
her
go for
exploit?
Her.
Supposedly, she
claimed to have been impregnated by this particular minister.
Not only that, she had sex with one of the female clergy.
Oh, really?
From the article I read, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah.
Any shoving matches? Any shouting or slapping?
Now, this is a serious subject. Now.
What was her name? Oh, it's going to drive me nuts. And she sang that song, If You Want to Be Happy for the Rest of... No, that's something else we asked less than an hour ago. I want to say her name was Vicky, or something like that. And she wore those. She wore the kind of glasses I wear, which made her look especially fetching.
I can't remember her name.
Gorgeous young woman.
I don't know.
She's kind of faded from the headlines. I've been wondering what she's up to. She would go into the handsome woman category. You know, we have a top 10 list of terminally cute women. And Dorothy Hamill, Jane Pauley, Katie Couric, Martha Quinn, formerly of MTV. She would go into a top 10 list of handsome women. This young woman from Atlanta who claims to have slept with the prelates. And
who else?
Cynthia McFadden of Court Channel would go in there, and by all means, Paula Zahn of CBS Morning News. A handsome woman. Or a